all we're doing is providing and facilitating the opportunity for our children to explore and to do the natural things that humans do, which is get their bloody noses into everything and need to understand how it works and why this doesn't work and why when I stick my finger in a plug I explode. These are all, don't let your children do that one.
Yes. Some are best as theory rather than practice.
No, just a thought experiment.
Hi, and welcome to Home Education for All, or HEFA for short. At HEFA, we believe that community is the heart of home education, and so that's what we built. We built a community in the UK, helping, supporting, and uplifting each other to be the best home educators we can be. And now we're coming to you via this podcast too. Stay tuned for all things home education in the UK via our amazing, experienced, knowledgeable, and often hilarious team. We truly believe home education can be for everyone, and we hope listening here will give you the confidence or knowledge you need if you've been considering home education. Let's dive in.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the podcast. I don't know if you are as excited as I am, because we've been away for a really long time. We had a big old break because, number one, I needed the break. And then we had the EHE consultation, which meant that took up a lot of our admin's time. But I am very pleased to say that the podcast has returned, and with it, I now have two new co-hosts. So my co-hosts are with me right now. Craig, hello.
Hello. It's very hello. Tempting to stay quiet then and then pretend we weren't here.
And Cheryl, hello.
Hello. Hi there.
Oh, hello. As you can probably imagine, this is going to get interesting. We do have a new format for the podcasts. So every other week we are doing a question time podcast where the members of the HEFA community are able to send us in questions, and we are going to answer them based on our own whims and fancy, basically. And then on the other week, we're going to be doing real talk. So those of you who have been with the podcast since the beginning will know that the very first series was all about real talk. It was all about hearing from home educators about their home education, basically. So that's what we're going to do on one week, and on the other week we're going to do question time. So this week is question time, and it's our first question time. I wish I had special effect noises.
Yes, next time.
Because I feel like I need a question time noise.
What would that be?
I don't know. What is the...
Send in your answers, everybody. So what would you like us to have as the noise? An elephant jumping? Yeah. Just see the action going along with that.
What?
Okay. See, I told you, it's going to be mayhem. Okay, so let's start with our first question, which is the lovely Donna asks us, how do you gauge how much your child is learning and progressing? Who wants to go first?
Oh, you can go first, Craig. Go on.
do not let me go first every time, though, please.
Okay.
Fed up with my voice. I'll kick it off by saying I think that really depends on how well you know your child. And I think that, so my answer is get to know your child. If you don't already, like in terms of how they learn. And then to me, it's something that is then visible later on. It's not immediately obvious. You could do, checks with them about their kind of understanding at the time. But I think in general, you could do a whole podcast on what is learning, couldn't you? What is learning? Is it the acquisition of knowledge? Is it the application of knowledge? To me, it's a bit of both. And so I think seeing my child then kind of explain something to someone else or to me later on, or say, well, that's why that happened, isn't it? You know, later down the line, because of something else we've learned, that really shows me that they've been learning.
I love that. Cheryl?
Yeah. Whenever someone asks a question, I always want to know, like, what's the real question you're asking here? I'm wondering whether this question is, there's two. There's how am I going to explain to the local authority what my child is learning and the progress that we've made? Because that progress thing sounds like a local authority ask. Am I doing it right? Is the other question, you know, and you know, is it working? Is the other question, and the answers will be different, won't they, depending who you're talking to. So, I think in terms of if I were having the local authority in mind, I would look at pictures to prompt me and go, oh yeah, he used to find that really tricky, and now he doesn't find that tricky anymore. So I could talk about an example of progress there. Or, you know, I'd look at the topics that we covered and I'd think about the conversations we'd had and say, oh, yeah, no, he came up with this concept. He came up with this idea. So learning that way. But I think what we do on, you know, kind of a how we check it is just probably day to day. We're real talkers about, oh, how's it going? How's it going? And so, oh, how do you think it's going? Oh, I love how it's going. And, oh, I'm a bit worried about this. And we also like going on a bus ride. And a bus ride is a great opportunity for us to just talk about, you know, oh, what's been going on and blah, 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 blah. So we do a lot of that kind of stuff. Yeah, go on.
I just have to interject. What was that face, Craig? You're not a bus fan.
That was Craig's public transport no-no face. I'm not denigrating anyone that takes it. I just find it very difficult to cope with myself, and so that was my face, not the fact that you get the bus. I'm not scoring here.
It does smell funny, I'll be honest.
Okay.
It's got a smell.
Charm, eh?
It has got a smell.
Yes.
Being in a situation where we're not facing each other. And we've got nowhere else to be, those conversations come up. So, yes, I'm not worried at all about how we're going to measure progress to talk to somebody else. But checking in on how I think we're doing at home ed is kind of like a day to day. But actually, now we're coming up to a year. It's easier for us to go, oh, this time last year. I can look back to those dates, and that's a little bit easier. I think I'd find it tricky over a 3-month period without writing everything down. But I think going, oh yeah, March last year, what was going on for you? Oh yeah, blimey, look how much that's changed, you know. So that one. Go on then, Ellen. Over to you. What about you?
No, I think Craig had something else.
Oh, go on.
I was just going to say, I'm just probably thinking too much around the wording of the question. But how much? So we focus on how, you know, are they learning and are they progressing? Like the question asks how much they're learning.
Yeah.
To me, that almost speaks of a value judgment on what they should be doing. So that it looks like that person might be putting themselves under undue pressure. I mean, how much should someone be learning is another question that we could spend hours talking about. I would guess, and don't worry if I'm not going go and do that now, but I think looking at that, like what would be the right amount of learning in your mind, like what are they thinking? I would just ask them to look at that, and then look at, to me, that kind of the underlying bit of that is, are they comparing it to school, of what they would be learning in school, and then have a read around the actual learning that does take place in school, because it's not probably as much as they might be thinking on a day-to-day basis. And again, going back to what you said, Cheryl, don't measure it on a kind of very short-term basis. Don't go, well, we didn't do a lot today. You know, there's some days where we don't do much at all. And those are that, you know, kind of downtime days that we use for, you know, self-care, et cetera, if we see that is needed. But, you know, it's over the course of the, you know, months and years that you see it adding up. So it's not really for me about how much they're learning at that moment. It's a more about a journey than a just the quantity of learning.
Yeah,
I'm just sitting here thinking, I wonder if they're hoping that you were just going to tell them a particular app that you use. Like, that's very interesting, but do you use an app or do you use a diary?
Well, that doesn't help to me at all, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. So Donna, yeah, if you are asking, you know, how do we gauge it via an app or a diary or a schedule or that kind of thing, you are going to be shit out of luck, I'm afraid, with the three people in the podcast right now. Mainly because we don't tend to do things in that way. But from my perspective, my first question, whenever someone talks about how much a child is learning or progressing, is to bring it back to, did you constantly on a daily basis check how ready your child was to start walking? Or did you naturally, because of your relationship with your child, see their body strengthening, the way that they started to roll over and then they started to try and get up on their knees and then they started to try and pull themselves up on things? Like, we naturally as parents see these kinds of things happen, and then suddenly our child is taking their first steps. And a lot of people will remember what age their child was when they started walking, but they won't remember everything that happened in between. So for me, I know this is against the grain, but I don't really believe you can gauge how much your child is learning or progressing until they finish their education their compulsory education at 16. But I do also appreciate that I am in a very different position of having home ed for 10 years, meaning that we didn't have the kind of oversight that the local authority now has back then. So we were much freer to just enjoy our home education without being expected to write to anybody about it. So when it comes to how I gauge how much my child is learning, very similar to Cheryl, is I might look back on pictures that have been taken over the course of time. And that's because we're a picture taking family, not because we take pictures to prove education or any of that kind of thing. And I might look at things that the children have been interested in. So for example, one of my children was interested in a server called RulerCraft, and when they first became interested in it a few years ago, they didn't really know much about it. They had lots of tutorials and lots of help from other people, and that has progressed to them, wanting to run their own countries in RulerCraft, and I don't know if they're actually called countries, but that's what I'm calling it. Their own area, and have people come and join them in their communities and all of that kind of thing. That's progress. But I've seen it over the course of quite a long time. If, for example, a local authority is asking you for progress, but how has your child progressed since you started home ed, and maybe that was 3 months ago, I would always kind of stick with stuff like literacy and numeracy, because they tend to be the easiest ones to note progress on. It's quite easy to pull it out of your hat, really, when it comes to numeracy and literacy. What about you guys? Is there any particular thing you would focus on if it was for the local authority?
I think probably I would talk about, I'm saying this having not had to do it yet, but I'd probably talk about how good they were, the skills that they were looking like they were acquiring to help them be a lifelong learner. So, they're now able to construct this kind of search on Google, and they're able to evaluate kind of the information, or they're able to take a question and then turn it into a question that they can try and answer, something like that. So, because when you talked about learning to walk, the thing that I suppose we're aiming for is to keep getting better and better at being able to find out stuff for yourself, and go on and keep teaching yourself when I'm not there kind of giving stuff to you. So that would be the kind of thing. It'd be a kind of information literacy skills and all that kind of stuff. I'd probably focus on that a bit.
Nice.
Yeah. A lot of ours would be that conversational stuff, like has been mentioned already. You know, it's picked up. It's used. You know, even my one is only 8 at the moment, so nearly 8. So she's a little bit, not too ready for independent research, but, you know, we do a lot of conversational stuff, a lot of, that sort of explaining, and you can tell that she uses words that she's heard. Her vocabulary is, you know, quite extensive, and you can tell when she's learnt a new word because she'll try and use it quite often, but in the right contexts and things. And it's things like that that do go in and notice. You think, you know, that must have been in our book, or, oh, that was on that program, or that was in that lesson we did together or something. And I think it's all of that. It's I think at the end of the day, it's about observing your child and taking note of things, isn't it? Like how anything's going in life, you've got to pay attention to it and look at it. So
I think that sums it up, is, you know, be present, be aware, and keep building on that relationship with your child so that you're able to recognise the learning and the progress that is taking place, right?
When they get to a certain age, they can do it for themselves as well, right? So they can say, they can, you know, you can ask them, how do you think it's going? And they can start looking at, oh, well, yeah, this is new for me, or I've got better at this, or I'm proud that I can do this and I couldn't do it before.
Yeah, evaluating is such a massive skill that a lot of, especially teens, a lot of teens don't have evaluation skills because they haven't, you know, especially in school, you're not taught to a massive extent how to evaluate yourself. You're taught to learn to a specific thing and someone else evaluates you for it. So I've got to let you guys in, those of you listening, I've got to let you in on a little secret, which was I decided in my wisdom, they're already laughing because they know what I'm going to say. I decided in my wisdom, right, you know, let's try and keep this Question Time podcast to about 15 minutes, right? And Craig at one point said, what's this 15 minutes about? Like, have you met us? So I just want to point out that we've answered one question and we're 16 minutes in.
That's why it's called Question Time, not Questions Time. And that's the end of the episode.
Should we just stop here?
Yeah. That's it, everyone. Bye. No. Don't go. Stay here.
Okay. So the next question is from the lovely Rebecca. Rebecca asks some really, really interesting questions. So how do you set boundaries in those first few months that give both you and your child time to heal from school-related trauma and things like that, and time to unschool? Now, I believe that Rebecca means de-school. So for those of you listening, unschooling and de-schooling is really, really commonly mixed up. De-schooling is that decompression and adjustment period after deregistering from a school, and unschooling is a complete philosophy to do with home ed. So they're very different, but they sound quite similar, so it gets mixed up quite a lot. So yeah, how do you set those boundaries in those first few months, especially when you're healing and, you know, your child is healing and things like that?
I wonder if this is where does home ed start and parenting stop, and vice versa, because it all kind of bleeds in, because it's kind of, you know, what do you mean by boundaries? I'm not quite sure. I think that might
let me add the additional part. Because I thought it sounded like two questions, but maybe it's one. So as part of that question, what does self-care look like for us and our child when they are now with us so much more than before, and, you know, both of you sometimes need a bit of space?
Ah, Well, that's a much more interesting question.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot. Yeah. If it's that, then that's something that's a kind of work in progress, isn't it? Right. Still working on it now.
Looks for, let me know.
Yeah. I've got a video. I'll send it to you.
Blimey.
I think that's something that, and interestingly as well, I think it's part of our home ed. If we had a curriculum, that would be part of our curriculum, definitely. Mm-hmm. It's like this: how do you know when you've had enough of each other? How do you say no to each other? How do you know, what's good for you and what isn't? So certainly at the beginning, you know, that whole kind of, oh, you're at home and you can do whatever you like. And, you know, it became quite clear that I was still going to have to step in and say, I think you've had a bit enough of that now. And, you know, at his age, he wasn't really able to say, I've had enough. So, you know, even though I wanted to kind of let him do whatever he wanted. So those kind of boundaries, in terms of self-care, yeah, it's something I've been banging on about for ages for various reasons anyway in our family. So we were kind of already had a starting point, but it's definitely being able to say, look, you know what, mummy just needs to be on her own for a little bit. You know, this isn't a punishment. I'm not cross with you. I just need to go and be on my own for a bit. Or kind of finding just an hour to be able to go, right, I'm going to go off and do something completely selfish, just so I can remind myself that that's okay. But we are quite fortunate. We do like spending a lot of time with each other. So, you know, perhaps I need to pass that on to someone else.
I think this is really linked to that de-schooling bit, isn't it? Well, to me it is, because it depends on the age of your child. But I, and like you said, how much time you enjoy spending, you know, how much you enjoy spending time together. But I think looking at it from that with that de-schooling in mind is that you don't have to be with your child all that time. You don't have to make that a thing that you're doing, because they would have been in school in a classroom most of the time. You don't have to recreate that. So yeah, actually you can look at some downtime for both of you throughout the day, or throughout the week, however you want to structure it. It doesn't have to be, because looking at that was like, where can I fit self-care in? Was actually, you can say, well, should we have a bit of a break now and come back in a bit, or not mix it up, do something else, go out. Self-care can look very different for different people as well, though, can't it? So it's quite hard to say what it would look like for one person, because I love sitting and playing on computer games, whereas my wife would find that mind-numbingly dull and likes to go out much more than I do. So it's what does that look like? How can you fit that in? What I found quite difficult with this self-care thing, so I've just mentioned that I'm a PC gamer, and where my daughter is now sort of getting into some of that herself, it is where that's now encroaching on my kind of safe space and my my self-care thing of, oh, can we play? And it's like, well, I don't
know, really
fancy it right now. But it's almost like that enforced like thing. So she wants to play something with me, and I sometimes say, well, I'm not massively in the mood, and then that might, you know, not go down too well. And then it's sort of like, well, actually that was the thing I enjoyed doing, and now it's becoming a thing that's stressful for me. That's quite hard to deal with. So it's not always easy, is what I'm trying to say. It's not like just go off and have a cup of tea. Don't be so silly. It's difficult. Sometimes you can't get any time for self-care in the day, and that's really hard. And I do think it's important to acknowledge that, because I think it's helpful to know that you're not alone in that. If you're finding a day difficult, sometimes I find myself thinking, I can't wait to be unconscious tonight. I'm not drinking myself under the table. That's me going to sleep. But you know, I get to the point where I'm thinking, oh my goodness, there's nothing I can do today except go to sleep tonight, and that will be my meal time.
That'll be my escape.
Exactly.
When they were babies, there used to be that witching hour. I think there is still that, like that 6 till 7 kind of, I haven't had my dinner yet, or I haven't had a chance to just be.
7 p.m. is bloody hard, you are right.
Yeah, that's the one, isn't it? So if you could do that, maybe that would be the goal. If you can give yourself 5 minutes, right, I'm just going to go take a book to the toilet for 5 minutes. But what I love is that somebody asked about it. Like, yes, they've got the awareness that is important. And I think that's really great.
Yeah. So for me, we've home ed for a really long time. And even before we home ed, I have always been quite specific about some specific things. So one of these things is that you are not able to speak to me for the first half an hour of the day, unless you are physically bleeding or need an ambulance or the house is on fire. Those are the only exceptions to that rule, and they are reminded about that rule if they ever forget it. And that's super important for me. I'm a neurodivergent person myself, and so are all of my children. And I deserve to be able to wake up in a way that is not shocking to my system. And we talk a lot about that in our house. We talk a lot about how meeting everybody's needs is about meeting everybody's needs, not just their needs. Mm. So while I do, there's a caveat on that though, isn't there? Because obviously, depending on the age of your child, depends on how able you are to enforce that. When your children are very, very young, your needs do not come first at all. You know, you don't say to a newborn screaming baby that's hungry, "Sorry, I'm in the bath right now." Well, maybe you do. But no, you don't. So
you can say it, but you still need to feed them.
Exactly. But, you know, once we're into home ed territory, we're talking 4, 5, 6 years old. We're moving into that space where, you know, when my children were that age, I was able to get up, make them something to eat, chuck it on the table and say, "Don't speak to me for half an hour." And they all understood that that wasn't me rejecting them or any of that kind of thing. It's me making sure my needs are met so that I can be as best as I can for them. When they were younger as well, we used to have a break during the day, which was when I read. I didn't read to them, and it was up to them what they did with that time, as long as they did it quietly. And to start with, that was maybe for 10 minutes. And we worked our way up to maybe half an hour, 45 minutes, depending on everybody's mood. But the aim of that was, if you need to be in separate spaces of the house to make it happen, do so. But we need some downtime. And I need some downtime. And I also have now a routine where I read every night when I'm in bed. I take a cup of tea up to bed and I read. So as my children have got older, a lot of the downtime, a lot of the self-care, a lot of following my own interests and all of those kinds of things have happened naturally alongside the children. So I haven't had to take myself away from the children to be able to do the things that I enjoy. I really love phonology wheels. I don't know if you guys have seen phonology wheels. They're just one of my favourite things. And I love to paint and I love to draw. So I will quite happily get the paper out and start working on a part of my phonology wheel. I originally found them interesting for the kids. The kids did not give two hoots and it became an interest of mine instead. My husband bought me special watercolour pencils and all kinds of stuff for my birthday a few years ago. And I crack on and the kids will be like, "Oh, I want to use that." No, it's mine. My stuff, your stuff is over there. If you want to crack on and do some painting and stuff, that's absolutely fine. I'm doing this. I've got another child who does a lot of crochet. I can't knit or crochet to save my life, but they absolutely, you can. I absolutely cannot. I've tried so many times. I can't even sew. I can't sew a button on. Useless. But they absolutely love it. And they'll sit there and they'll crochet while we watch a program together, which again is their self-care time. You know, watching one of their favorite programs with just me so that they can regulate down, And we have shared little in jokes about the program. We'll pause it at the very beginning and say, who's going to talk first? And, you know, things like that is some Criminal Minds. So there's always this bit where you've had the introduction, you have the music, and then you're on the aeroplane and you've got to decide who's going to talk first. And we used to have a drinking game as well. Although we don't actually drink alcohol or anything. It was just take a shot when he says wheels up in 20. But anyway, so, you know, these are all things that we have worked into our daily lives so that we don't need a break from it. That doesn't mean that we don't still need a break from each other. Mm. And home educators that know me in person will attest to the fact that I often go to a home ed park meet on a Tuesday and a Thursday, whether my children agree to come with me or not, because I need that time. Mm. And if we attend the Thursday thing and they refuse to do the multi-sports, then I say, okay, that's fine, go and sit over there instead, because I'm staying here and I'm going to talk to my friends, because this is what I need for me to manage the rest of the week with you guys. So, you know, you have to find ways to make it work. Look, you've both gone silent. Did I mic drop
it? Well, no, I agree. I admire your ability to put that in place and have it work for you. I think that's really inspiring, I think.
It depends also how fluid your life is outside of home ed, right? Yeah. So I'm self-employed and I've got a little bit of part-time, but we've got a lot of flexibility in our family, so we can accommodate that. You know, there isn't really a schedule. There's rarely anything we have to be on time for. So if someone's not feeling it, we can just go, and even then we might, you know, just sack it off and say, all right, well, let's just not do that. We're not feeling up to it. So we've given ourselves permission to not do stuff, and that's been really helpful too. But yeah, it's about being mindful of your own energy and understanding what it is that you need and what makes you feel good. And if those are in sync, that's great, but sometimes they won't, you know. So it is a lot of learning, isn't it?
It's a massive amount of learning. And so many people who think that home ed is about their kids are just so wrong. It's so much about ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I always think that about de-schooling, that looking back at that again, I never really think that's for the kids. I think that's totally for the parents to de-school. I know there's an element of school trauma, etc., for children. I think that's relevant. But de-schooling, getting out of that mindset, is almost entirely for the parent, I feel. Is where the work's needed. I think children are a lot more adaptable to different ways of learning than parents are to different different styles, etc. I think that's where that work needs to be done. And I think once they get that, the other stuff can follow on, can't it? I think once you get out of that rigidity, you can go to things, well, actually, I am allowed to do this for me at this point. It's not neglecting my child or neglecting their learning. It's part of our life.
Yeah, I think a lot of the way that it works for us is probably because we're unschoolers. A lot of what we do is modelled by me, and so if I want to learn about something, I go and actively learn about it, and they then are free to learn about what they want to learn about. And it's so you know, the self-care thing, it was always about modelling what I need for myself so that they can recognise what they need for them, and they're really, really good at it. But bear in mind that my children, the youngest is nearly 11 and the oldest is 21. So we've had a lot of practice and a lot of teething problems across the 20 years that I've been a parent. I've got a fantastic question moving on from the lovely Pip. One of our chief commanders of the Heifer experience. Pip asks, how do you like being admin on one of the largest peer-to-peer home education groups on Facebook?
Well, I don't have to answer this one because I'm not an admin. I'm a moderator. I'm very moderate. I just calm everything down.
I think you'll find that she meant modmin. So
uses it as an all-encompassing term. You can't wiggle out of answering the question just on a technicality. Come on.
How does it feel? I'm pleased as punch.
We're looking for soundbite answers for this one to get it moving. Come on. Yes.
I'm pleased as punch. I boast about it. I love it. It's brilliant. My son couldn't believe it. He's like, oh yeah, Mum, you have to definitely do this. This is great. So he's very proud of it. I love it. And in terms of self-care, the care that you get, you know, this is my self-care, hanging out, feeling like I'm giving something to other people, yes. And then having the support from the others on the admin team. And, you know, that is really lovely. So, it feels really good. But it is a privilege. I feel really honoured to be an admin. So,
yeah, I feel the same. Definitely. The camaraderie sounds a bit twee phrase, but it really is. I've not met a group of people that were so like almost instantly supportive, like the admin group behind the scenes, from not really knowing them, although they all seemed to know me when I came on board, which was a bit weird, but yeah. Nice.
They would have been talking about you, that's what I realized.
I know. Yeah, it's very strange, but yeah, I found that lovely. And then I love giving back to the community. Mm. I try to, you know, do what I can. And this is part of that. Whether anyone's finding this helpful or not, I don't know. But, you know, hopefully you do. Oh, my God, it's them again going on. turn off. Get rid of it. Skip 15 seconds. But, yeah, I love it. I love the fact that you can, you know, kind of, you can give what you can give at the time. You know, I dip in and out with what I can do at the moment because my life has kind of spiraled into a chasm. But, you know, hopefully I'll climb out the other side at some point and I'll be able to give a bit more back. But that's, you know, you're not made to feel like you should be doing a certain amount, et cetera. You give what you can and you contribute your expertise where you're able to. And I feel it's a very supportive place to be, and I love the feeling of the group in general. You know, the advice and the care that goes into that is something special. You know, other groups do not have that feeling for me. Yeah. I feel like some other people are left to flounder a little bit on some groups from posts I've seen. I'm not saying that is the kind of ethos, but people are always answered on this group, and I love that, and I love the fact.
Yes, I love that too. I don't know if people realise that, but no. Not a single post goes on without one of the admin making a comment on it. So everybody gets a bit of attention, you know, even if it's just I hear you, you know, I hear you. I hope someone else will be able to help you, but I just want to tell you that I get it, or I feel the same, or I feel for you, and that's wonderful. And also the amount of you see the amount of action that goes on front of house, but backstage, the amount of, and I'm not talking about the chit chat nonsense. I'm talking about the amount of like, oh, what do you think? Oh, I think this. Well, should we do this? And blah, blah, blah. It honestly, it's like this enormous help desk, but with so much love. It's wonderful. It's really wonderful.
It is. It is a beautiful team to be trapped in for the rest of my life. that's all I'm saying. So, Stacey, moving on. Stacey, Stacey asks, how do you... Oh, this is juicy.
Oh, yeah.
How do you stop yourself from forcing your likes and dislikes and beliefs onto your children and allow their own creativity and interests to flourish?
Oh, don't. Just make them a copy of you. That's much easier.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Just indoctrinate them into whatever you believe. Move on.
Every time they talk to you, go, oh, this is so boring. Boring.
Yeah, no, I'm like, what are you talking about? This is absolutely the most interesting.
That's dumb. Yeah. Dumb. No wonder you haven't got any friends. serious answer.
Serious answer.
Serious answer. I do and I don't. So I don't. I sometimes I don't stop myself because it's kind of like I think my interests are interesting, and you should be interested in them. In the same, but it works both ways. You have to show interest in their interests. So that kind of brings us back to the measuring progress thing. It's like you be interested in me, we'll talk about that, and I'll be interested in every fine detail of Pokemon Go or everything about this particular quirky weird animal that you've discovered or whatever it is. So I got over that a long time ago that he was not going to follow me into some of my interests. It's okay, it's fine. I'll find some other, but somebody else's kid can be my protege on that area. But,
yeah. I suppose some of it is like looking at, even before you get to that stage of, well, I'll pay attention to you, this question might almost be asking, well, how do I get them to have their own interests that are separate from mine to pay attention to in the first place? It depends how old they are, I suppose, because if they're older, they might have developed those before you started home ed a lot more. Although they're still going to have been influenced by other people. You can't stop that an influence. Mm-hmm. I think it's, for me, it's about giving a serious answer. It's about giving a broadness to the opportunities that we offer. We do unschool as well. Mm-hmm. And we try to offer a lot of different opportunities and avenues, you know. Would you like to do this? Is there something, you know, in general themes, or would you like to find out about anything today? Or if there's something that they've heard or started talking about, spark their interest, we'll say, oh, well, should we find out a bit more about that? Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, I don't care. It's like, all right, didn't have to be that harsh, but thanks. you know, shoot me down, bloody hell. Yeah. But yeah, to me, it is about broadening it out to things that I might not be personally interested in, making sure that I'm not just doing the things that I find interesting and saying, look, would you like to do this? We've got hundreds of books as well here. I think it's one of my special interests. I learned when I was going through my own kind of pathology. I collect books. I don't necessarily read them, but I like having them around and I think they're good. And sometimes you'll go and grab a book, just have a look through it and go, oh, what's this? And we'll have a look together and we'll just find things out. Mm. And I think it's that openness to exploration and learning that really helps develop those interests. So
letting them say no to stuff too, yes, is absolutely important too. So, you know, you sign them up for something. I don't sign up for, we don't commit to stuff these days. We're kind of like, why don't we try? We'll try this. And then being able to say, okay, it's not doing it for me. Okay, you don't have to do it anymore. That's fine. But, you know, give it a go. If you come out of it and you say, no, that, I don't want to do that again, then we won't. If before we go, you go, oh, I don't know if I want to now. It's like, well, you know, we'll go and see, you know. And if you still don't like it, right, well, we won't be doing that again then. So, yeah, being able to say no and let some of those things go rather than, oh, that was your interest and we've got to stick with it now.
Yeah. So one of the things here that I picked up on was beliefs. So forcing beliefs onto how do you not force your beliefs onto your children? And I probably picked up on that because of my history. But for me, for some home educators, the entire reason that they want a home ed is to ensure that their children do end up keeping those beliefs that are very important to that family and that culture. For other families, they want a home ed to ensure that their children get a diverse understanding of beliefs and what makes up the world. So what I will say is if, for example, you are home educating because you don't like the curriculum that's available in a school, for example, and you want your beliefs, your child to follow the beliefs that you have, that's absolutely fine. If you are choosing to home educate because you believe that children should be free to, you know, explore all kinds of beliefs and understandings of the world and things like that, then that is absolutely correct for you as well. For me personally, my belief system is quite complex, and it's not as simple as kind of saying I'm a Christian or I'm Catholic or, you know, whatever, like from a religious perspective. Just trying to describe my belief system is an entire mouthful. So for my children, that's been really, really wonderful for them, because they've been able to explore so much from a theological perspective of understanding and going really deeply into different areas of faith and belief from the people who are practicing those things. So our community is very diverse. We have people from all kinds of faiths and belief systems and spiritual systems and all kinds of things like that. So they will literally, we had some friends that were, you know, fasting during Ramadan, and the kids like fired all of the questions at that family because they wanted to learn about it and they wanted to understand, and they wanted to understand why they needed to stop offering cake during the middle of the day, and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. So for us, home ed has been about being able to learn from the experts out in the actual world as it happens naturally. The same goes for people of different genders, different sexualities, of disability, all kinds of different things that I don't feel is given enough focus in the school system when they are a large focus in the world. But we're also socialists, so you know, although one of my children is possibly more leaning towards communism, so, you know, it's a free for all. Oh, Cheryl, I can't hear you.
No, that's because there was some noise in the background. I thought I'll be smart, put my microphone on mute. Whoops. No, when you said about beliefs, I was thinking more about values and that kind of stuff. But again, it's just, I suppose you just got more time with your kids. And so what you would do outside of school, you know, in the same way, you're just kind of doing it, just doing more of it. So I'd say that's something you'd want to be aware of, whether you're home ed or not, right?
Yeah.
You know, how do I not force things onto them?
Yeah, I agree. I think some of the framing of some of these, I think people get completely terrified, like this is a completely new, like they've been given a child for the first time. It's like you've been with it almost certainly, not in every case, I do understand, but like in almost every case, you're going to have been with this child for an appreciable amount of time before you start your home ed journey anyway. You've, you know, on the whole, probably given birth to them or had them since they were very young, and you're going to have spent a lot of time with them. How did you do these things when you, as you say, when you weren't at school? You're going to have managed to do these things already, and you're not going to, unless you're a completely neutral case, you're not going to be able to stop some of your beliefs and things coming off onto your children. It's just that's life, isn't it? I'd say don't be an arsehole, because then your child won't learn to be an arsehole, will they? You know,
that was a soundbite quest answer to that question, wasn't it?
Perfect.
Don't be a dick. There we go. Move on.
Don't be a dick, move on. Yeah, perfect. I genuinely really like that answer. I will just add something very slightly to it, which is in our house, we have some principles that we base a lot of our life on. And that those principles apply to everyone in our house. So when we talk about respect, we talk about respect for each person regardless. So it's not my children must respect me because I'm the adult. Mm. It's, you know, I will respect my children equally to the respect that they provide me. It's not an either or. And I don't expect respect. The other thing is that if I tell my children something that I believe and they believe that it's utter bull, they will tell me so, and they will call me out on it, and they will want to have a discussion about it to correct my behaviour. And I'm okay with that because that's how they learn to address these things with others in a similar way. And if they can make those mistakes with me, where maybe they come at it from a very defensive perspective, or, you know, various ways in which we're learning how to deal with discourse and debate and arguing with people, strangers on the internet and stuff like that, they can come and do it safely with me so that they can learn to do it better out in the real world. So Lauren, final question. Lauren is not yet a home educator. So this is from our sister group, the Little Heifers and Big Lumps. So these are families of children who are moving towards home ed in the future and who have just gone out the other end at 16. Lauren says, how do you know how to start when starting from the very beginning? How do you know roughly what you're aiming for? So the context of this is that we will be starting with our summer-born son when he turns 5, as though we'd delayed his start to reception. Should I be referring to the curriculum? I presume she means the national curriculum, to give a rough idea of what to look at. He's never attended any kind of childcare setting, so we'll be starting from the very beginning.
Ooh, I know the answer to this.
Yeah. Go on, go for it.
I think, well, you know, because you did it, right? But I think the answer is that you're not starting anything. You're not starting anything. You're just carrying on. That's all. You're just carrying on. And I'll stop there.
Yeah, that's totally one of the things that I would have said to answer that. So I'll back you up on that answer. It's just a continuation. Don't start anything. Just carry on. You know, Ellen was saying earlier, how did you teach them to walk? I know that's a physical development, but how did you teach them to talk? How did you, you know, it just happens, doesn't it? You're doing these things. Did you aim to do that? No, it's just a thing that kind of naturally happens for most people. Again, I know it doesn't happen for everyone, but in general, now looking at how do you know roughly what you're aiming for me, I've always said my aim is to, and our aim, I think, is shared with my wife, is that we want our daughter to have a love for learning, to not make it a burden for her to learn things, for her to want to learn, and for her when she is a bit older, you know, looking at kind of senior school years, as they would be in a school environment, to be able to do a lot of that learning kind of independently. If she's if she's interested in something, to go off and have the skills to do some research, to, you know, would still be around, would still be there facilitating stuff for her, but for her to have some of those skills starting at that kind of age. That those are my kind of very broad aims. But looking at, should you be referring to a curriculum? There's lots of them out there as well. You don't have to look at the national one. There's other ones out there that are a lot more kind of home ed focused. But in general, I would say no. I would say definitely no to national curriculum. That's from a personal level. It's so stilted and boring. You know, have a look at it if you want to go to sleep at night, because it's not a riot, I'll tell you.
Isn't it about working backwards, Craig? Right. So it's working backwards from where do you want them to end up? Just like you said, you know. So I think where people talk about the national curriculum is because they've got in their mind that they're 4 now. Yeah. At some point, they're going to need to have some qualifications, even though that's 10, 12, 50. I'm looking that far ahead. So should I be doing something right now? What should I be doing right now so that I'm not cutting off their option later on? But then again, that comes back to de-schooling. Even though your child has never been to school, you probably went to school. So, you know, just that kind of like, oh, I mean, they don't have to do GCSEs, all of that kind of stuff. That's maybe where do I start? Is start by reading the guide. Start by reading. Yeah, start by educating yourself on what this is all about, and let your kid just get on with playing and, you know, while you're teaching yourself this stuff.
That's a really good point about the guides, and it's great. You know, this is like a promotional insertment, isn't it, for the group? But they're my favourite bit of the guides, you know, everyone's got one, haven't they? They can all quote their favourite part of the guides. You know, page 496 is mine. I don't know what. No, I don't know what it would. Yes, exactly. Brilliant. Wow, highlighted. You know, sentence 32. Yeah, me and all.
I've got it framed.
yeah, that's the one I've got on the wall as well. It's funny that, isn't it? No, but my favourite bit is the makes it sound like a prick, you know, my favourite bit, but the bit I think is the most helpful for people, that bit I direct most people to when I do answer questions on the group, is the formalising life learning part or posts of that nature. Look at that, because that gives you such a quick idea of what this can be. You don't have to just do an unschooling approach to appreciate that, because even if you do a rigid, structured, curriculum-based approach, you're still living life on the other times you're not doing that. You look at that and you get an idea of, bloody hell, they're learning stuff everywhere. I think that will help someone like this looking at, do I need to refer to a curriculum? No, you need to kind of look at what your life is. If you're just sitting down doing absolutely nothing all day, then yes, maybe look at a curriculum. But if you're a person living a, you know, fairly busy life, which almost everyone is, then no, you probably don't need to look at anything. Finn.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a child. Craig, did your youngest, did your little in ever go to school? They've always home ed, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So similar to Craig, I've got my youngest has never been to school and never went to nursery or preschool or any of those kinds of things. And with us, nothing's changed yet, and they're nearly 11. So they have grown up in a home ed environment with their siblings. They never went to preschool or anything like that because they were too busy in the home ed community already, because they were coming with us to all of the events from, you know, the time they were toddling or, you know, when they were in a pushchair. So they've always been a part of the home ed community, and that is what makes up the majority of what their life has continued to look like. They explore when they want to explore. They have downtime when they want to have downtime, and even during their downtime, they're learning. So, you know, how do you know how to start? There is no how to start. There is no start, because you're already doing it just by being a parent to your child. And there is no separation, especially for people who start from scratch, as in their child never goes into an educational setting. You are just, this is just an extension of your parenting. And I really firmly believe that education is an extension of parenting. All we're doing is providing and facilitating the opportunity for our children to explore and to do the natural things that humans do, which is get their bloody noses into everything and need to understand how it works and why it works and why this doesn't work and why when I stick my finger in a plug I explode. You know, these are all, don't let your children do that one.
Some are best as theory rather than practice.
Yeah,
just a thought experiment.
Yeah, thought experiment. Unless you're my children, but I digress. There is no understanding of what you can aim for other than to start developing your home ed philosophy. Your home ed philosophy is what you believe education is for and how you're going to provide that education to your children. So for me, our home ed philosophy is that I want to ensure that by the time my children are grown, they are able and capable of existing in the world in as independent a way as is possible for them. And that's very specifically worded for a very specific reason, because all of my children have disabilities and medical needs and various other things. My children need to be literate. They need to be numerate. These are things that need to happen at some point as they grow. Do I need to start that at 5? I would argue definitely not. Will children start learning about literacy and numeracy by the time they're about 8 months old? Yes, naturally. Because they start to recognise patterns, they start to recognise language, they start trying to communicate. All of these things are things that naturally happen as a part of being a human. So you just need to keep encouraging that to happen with your child. Don't get hung up on the idea that education is something different to what you're doing.
Do you know what I love about that answer, Ellen?
What?
Is that it's really a lot like what's in the EHE guidelines. But it is, isn't it, right? It's preparing, you know, it has to be an education that does numeracy and literacy, but prepares them to take their place in the community and live a fulfilling life. And, you know, I can't remember the exact wording. Craig probably can. He's probably got it written down somewhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the goal too, isn't it? So,
And with respect to the EHE guidelines, that is one of the only bits that actually lines up with what home ed looks like. The rest.
I was going to say that was written by a human, but yes, yeah. that a compassionate human.
But, absolutely.
That is it, isn't it? It's preparing them to be the best them they can be in their own life. And how you get there is going to be so individual to you and your child that it's hard to mandate what that looks like. But I think it sounds like if you're asking these questions, just don't doubt yourself, really, is what I'd say. Just go, especially at that age, you can't really get this wrong. And if you go slightly off track at some point, you've got so much time to get back on and go with it. But honestly, to me, there is no track. There is no, you know, you can go by train or foot or car.
Not bus. No, you're not going by bus.
No, don't go by bus. No, no, no. I meant on your own. Yeah, it's a two-person vehicle, maybe.
Well, thank you. For sharing your evening with me and your thoughts on our very first question time. We have so many questions to work through over the weeks. So if your question was not answered in today's episode, please do be assured it will be answered in another. Yes, so that is all we have time for, I'm afraid. And we are bang on an hour. As expected. So yes, I think I will just listen to my co-hosts from now on and appreciate that I have, you know, my time blindness is far more damaging than I think it is. Thank you guys for joining me this evening, and thanks to all of you who are listening. If you are yet to come and join the community, the Home Education for All group is on Facebook. We also are on Instagram and a few other places I can't think of right now, as well as having this podcast. We do have sister groups. So, for example, we have the Home Ed Art group. We have which is new. We have the Little Heifers and Big Lumps, which is for under school age children and over school age young people. We have a resources group, and we have a general parental chit chat group as well. So come and join our community on Facebook or on Instagram. We would love to see you there. And that's for everyone. If you're considering home education, if you're interested in home education and learning more about it, we are the place to find out about it on Facebook. So until we speak again next week, that's goodbye from me, goodbye from Craig and Cheryl.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Where's the off button?